Let's go back and reread a portion which we covered quite hastily in our last Wednesday night session. In Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23. And it came to pass that he went to the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of the grain. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also on the Sabbath. In our last study, in John's Gospel, chapter 5, we noted the great controversy that arose over the Lord healing a man on the Sabbath. And, of course, it was not only directed to the Lord, but, of course, it was also directed to the man who was healed, because he too broke the Sabbath as far as the Pharisees were concerned. You see, after the Lord healed the man who was lame, he told him to take up his bed and walk. The man rolled up his bed, put it on his shoulder, and walked away. This was breaking the Sabbath as far as they were concerned. For them, to pick up anything to put on the shoulder would be work. Now there were many things that were specifically stated and spelled out in the law for people not to do, for people to avoid. They couldn't go out and gather firewood. They were not to go out and prepare big meals. And they were just not to do any of those chores. They were to leave that off for the Sabbath. So for this man to pick up his bed, which was just a bed roll, really, and to put on his shoulders and carry it away, this was to them work. It was forbidden. They said he had broken the Sabbath. Now, here is another incident where that Jesus is accused of breaking the Sabbath and his disciples. As they're going through the grain field, his disciples pluck off the ears of grain and they rub it in their hands. I don't think any of you have ever done that or not. I used to love to do that, going through the wheat field. They didn't care much for the rye, the barley, but I didn't like the wheat. But it's very easy to rub it in your hands like that and blow the chaff. And matter of fact, during wheat is rather chewy. It's a good substitute for gum. But anyway, just for them to rub these grains of wheat in their hands was labor. They classified this as labor. And they accused the disciples of the Lord of breaking the Sabbath. Well, let's see what the Lord's answer to them is. They asked Jesus, they said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful it is not permitted, according to them, to do this. And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungry? So he takes them back to an incident in the life of a man that they really respected. David was a man after God's own heart, and they truly loved to refer to David as their king. They loved to think of the one who would spring from David, who would rule over Israel, whose throne would be set up in Jerusalem, peace would be once again restored, the enemy subdued, and they would have again a national peace such as they had never known before. Oh yes, they held David in high esteem. But they really hadn't, so far as we know, they hadn't taken time to see what David had done on this one occasion when he entered into the house of God, and those who were with him, they were hungry. They took of the showbread which was placed on the table, and again it was spelled out specifically in the law that this showbread was for the priest only. Strange, they had not really taken David to task over this. Why should they ignore something like that in the life of David, and then to bring something out like this in the life of Jesus and his disciples? They seem rather strange. Well, they, again, their minds are made up, and they don't even bother for an explanation, I'm sure, on their part. And I doubt that they really consider very seriously the explanation that Jesus gave regarding the whole thing. But anyway, the Lord Jesus speaks of this. Now notice, the reason he brings this up, it's in answer to a question that they ask. They're asking, why do your disciples do that which is not lawful? And in answering them, he goes back to say, well, why did David do that which is not lawful? Did you justify David in what he did and they that were with him? When the law specifically spells out that the showbread is for the priest. Well, he's answering them, really. And he said, he even went so far as to say, this showbread which is not lawful to eat but for the priest. David ate it and gave to those who were with him, and they all ate. Now, this also raised some more questions. What would you say about David in this case, he said? What about David doing this? Would you really bring David to trial in this? Well, if they're going to accuse the Lord Jesus and his disciples of doing that which is not lawful, they need to go back and to think about what David did. Was it really lawful? Was he really breaking the law? We must understand here, and I think that we can see this very clearly, that these people were actually going beyond the law. They were putting restrictions within restrictions. We might say they were adding law to law. And the kind of restrictions that they were putting on the law was taking them beyond the intentions that God had in giving the law. In verse 27, the Lord said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. You see what they were doing? They had reversed the order, hadn't they? They had really reversed the order here. The Lord said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So you see what they had done? They had exalted the Sabbath. And they brought it in as the supreme thing. Now man was to be a servant of the Sabbath. That's not what the Lord intended when he gave the law. And that's what he's saying here. The Sabbath was really made for the use of man. Now, we went quite hurriedly over that portion of chapter 5. Well, I guess it seems that we go hurriedly over every portion that we come to, because we never are able to spend as much time as we would like in the Word. But you see, the Lord brings out something here in John's Gospel, chapter 5, that should cause them to stop and to think very seriously. Why did the Lord give the Sabbath in the first place? There was a reason, wasn't there? An illustration of that is that God created the heavens and the earth and so on, and on what day did he rest? The seventh. Or ceased from his labor, you see. His work was completed. It was finished. His creative work was finished. And so it was declared a day of finished work. He ceased from his work. God wasn't tired. He didn't need to take a break. That's not what he said. But yet, knowing man and his needs, God made provision for man, and man wasn't able to appreciate it in giving the law. And you look through the law that was given to Moses, and I tell you, the more that I look at it, and the more I get some help from some who are a little bit keener into looking into these details, I see more and more of the great wisdom of God involved. If you'd like a little book that brings out a number of things that we may or may not have looked into it in depth, get Dr. McMillan's little book on none of these diseases. It costs you about $1.95. It's a paperback. If you don't have it, get a copy. By a Christian doctor, McMillan. None of these diseases is a title right. And I tell you, the way he goes into bring out the meaning of and the purpose of some of these laws is just absolutely great. Well, it shows that actually these laws were made out of the wisdom of God for the benefit and the help of Israel. The laws of God and cleanliness. You know? A lot of times I'm sure that the Jews thought that these laws were done, you know. And they would, whenever they set them aside, they paid for it. You don't question God's wisdom, but that's what we like to do. Well, now why? It doesn't take the youngster very long. They go through that stage very early when you tell them something. What's the response? Why? Why? Sometimes I think it's curiosity, and the other time, sometimes I think that it's gone beyond curiosity. They're just questioning. They just want to question what you said. Is this not that they're all that curious? It's just that they want to raise some questions. I guess that's a little bit of your own nature manifesting itself. But anyway, as the Lord Jesus was accused of working here on the Sabbath, as we looked into John chapter 5, in verse 17, notice, when they accused the Lord Jesus of working on the Sabbath, what did the Lord say? John 5:17. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto," or one translation says, "until now." Who has some of the modern translations that might differ a little bit there? Worketh him until now. All right. What do you read, John? All right. You see, this is the idea. My Father goes on working. He works until now. And the Lord says, "And I work." You see? He and the Father are perfectly together in all that he attempts to do. He says, "I and the Father are one." They're working in harmony and together. And he says, "My Father worketh until now on the Sabbath." Oh. He ceased his work in creation, didn't he? But did he cease his work? Did God lay all, as it were, all the tools aside and say, "Did he stop working?" Not in this time. The Lord shows he's still working. And he says, "I'm working too. I'm working also. And I work." It was at that time that the Jews had their fill. In verse 18 it says that they sought the more to kill him, to burn them up, because he so associated himself with the Father. Now, you notice he said, "My Father." I think this is what got their goat. He said, "My Father." He didn't say ours. He didn't say yours. He said, "My Father." And to them, this meant that he claimed in a very peculiar sense that he was begotten. He was indeed the Son, the begotten Son of God. And they couldn't take it. They're ready to stand. Because you see, "My Father and I go right on working." Now, did God make any provision for breaking the Sabbath? Assuming that this might be classified as work, did God make any provision for breaking the Sabbath, as far as they were concerned? Well, let's notice. The Lord illustrated to the Pharisees by going back into history, showing what David did, which is not lawful. He illustrated what his own disciples were doing. They were hungry and they were eating. They were doing what was necessary to get the grain out of the husk, which the Pharisees considered labor or working. To them that was lawbreaking. So the Lord illustrates David, so far as they were concerned, breaking the law. But they had missed one thing. There's one thing that they had overlooked. God made provision for necessity or for an emergency on the Sabbath. What did he say if the ox is in the ditch? on the Sabbath, what do? Do you leave him there with all four stuck straight up in the air where he might possibly die? Did he tell them not to lift a finger toward getting that ox out of the ditch? Was not provision made for something like one of their work animals or one of their beasts? Does God think more of a beast than he does his own people? Yes, God made provision. You can go ahead and get him out. That will not be considered against you. In other words, here is a case of necessity. You know, God always tempered these things, it seems, with mercy. All right. Now, there is another case where that we might note an exception that was made. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 5. Matthew 12 and verse 5. Or know ye not, or have ye not read in the law, how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? And I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Now, we might go back to that in just a minute. But in verse 5, he said, don't you know what it says in the law? Haven't you read about those priests? What do? Do they work on the Sabbath? What about the offerings, the sacrifices? What about all that they are to do? Oh, well, that's quite another thing. Well, what exception did God make? Here was an exception where worship was important. And you don't stop worship on the Sabbath. Now, we notice there, well, let's follow there in Matthew. Let's just notice that what the Lord said, again, with perhaps a little more emphasis there, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7, if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Here is another reason for breaking the Sabbath. And this is an act of mercy. Now, he quotes from Hosea. They should have known what Hosea said in chapter 6, and I think it's verse 6. He's quoting here from the prophets that they should have known. What does God desire? And listen, when he spoke that through the prophet Hosea, this was at a time when Israel was on a low limb spiritually. Hosea is called upon to be a picture, or to draw a picture, of the unfaithfulness of Israel in turning from God. And this is a time when the Lord speaks this through Hosea. Well, yes, they were concerned about a certain ritual. God is saying, look, I would rather have mercy than sacrifice. I would rather have mercy than sacrifice. Well, this is another thing that would be, or we might say, that would be acceptable so far as a reason for breaking the Sabbath. Going on down to verse 10, and behold, there was a man who had his hand paralyzed. And they said unto him, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? You see that these are a merciful bunch of people, aren't they? Wouldn't you hate to be cast on the mercy of these Pharisees? Boy, they'd be tough ones. With that kind of mercy, I think we could do without. Let's look what the Lord replies in Luke's gospel to this situation. Luke chapter 6 and verse 9. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. You see, they asked him the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The Lord says, all right, I want to ask you a question. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to destroy it? Boy, that question was really loaded, wasn't it? They were coming asking him a question that they might accuse him, not for information. They just wanted a way of accusing him. Then he asked them this loaded question, all right, which would you say it's lawful to do? Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? There's no way they could get out of answer. They either had to keep their mouth closed or they had to stick their foot in, one of the two. They had the choice. Well, the same thing is asked in verse 4 of Mark 3, the same situation. He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save or to kill? Well, what happened? In verse 4 of Mark 3, it says, they held their peace. They held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored as sound as the other. So, the Sabbath, then, it was lawful on the Sabbath to show mercy. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He showed mercy. Why was the Lord able to do this? What do we read in verse 28 of chapter 2 of Mark? Why was the Lord able to do this on the Sabbath? Well, as we pointed out, it was permissible. It was lawful for them to act in case of necessity. It was permissible for them to, as in the case of the priest, to perform certain duties in connection with worship. It was permissible also to show mercy on the Sabbath. Now the Lord, in bringing these truths out, says this in verse 28 of Mark 2. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Here it is. He is Lord of the Sabbath. You would think these Pharisees were lords of the Sabbath, wouldn't you? But no, they were not. The Lord Jesus himself says, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He had demonstrated his power in many other ways. Well, in fact, all these healings demonstrated his power. Now, if he had the power And as Nicodemus said, we know that the things that thou doest obviously have the power from God, because this doesn't come from man. They would admit this. And so he demonstrated that he had power over all these diseases. Notice what he did. There was a man who had a hand paralyzed. It was restored. There was a man who was lame in his feet. He restored him. Now, wouldn't this be some sort of evidence that he too was Lord of the Sabbath? Could they accuse him who was sent of God to do these things? Could they accuse him of breaking the Sabbath? Well, the fact is he, so far as breaking the Sabbath was concerned, he was acting altogether within the realm of the law. But yet they were not willing to accept it, because they had their minds made up, and they were not willing to accept it. Now, I know there are many questions that arise today, and they have for years, about the Christian today and the Sabbath. What about the Christian so far as the Sabbath is concerned today? There are those who teach that we're to continue to observe the Sabbath. Now, there's the Seventh-day Adventists. Of course, they worship on the Sabbath. I suppose all of you are aware of the fact that this is also the doctrine taught by Herbert W. Armstrong, and that whatever Church of God it is. They are Sabbath worshipers. They're Seventh-day Adventists, and this is, in a sense, they teach that you should worship on the Sabbath. Now, Ellen G. White, he was one of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, said that she had a vision one time, and that God showed her, of course, the ark. The Lord Jesus himself took her to the ark. He opened it up and allowed her to look in on the tables of stone, and said around the fourth commandment, there was a kind of a circle or ring like halo around that. It just stood out. What is the fourth commandment? The fourth? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So the interpretation of this, we've got to restore the Sabbath, and this was part of the beginning. Well, isn't it amazing that you can put more confidence in a dream than you can in the written word of God?